Up next, a journey into prayer. Pioneers of prayer in the laboratory, agents of science or Satan. I'm looking forward to this discussion with Bill Sweet in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. Bill Sweet back with us. He was on with Connie Willis about 2 years ago. He was always interested in paranormal phenomena, including the phenomena of prayer. And through meeting the founders of Spindrift, Bill began to grasp new ways of applying consciousness research to religion and science. And he was president of Spindrift for 4 years, graduated from the new Trier High School, which was the top public high school in the country at the time, and attended Illinois State University, where he received a communications degree as well. Bill, welcome back to the program.
Well, it's good to be back, George. Boy, what a night you're having.
Oh, my gosh.
Religion night.
We sure are. You know,
yeah, I noticed you didn't go into the Netanyahu thing. You brought that up. It went right over that.
That's going to be something.
Oh, yes. By the way, a little joke. Do you know what you get when you cross Yahoo with Netflix?
A Netanyahu.
You got it.
Yeah. Thanks for setting me up, though. I never would have gotten that right. Hey, we do on Fridays what we call, Bill, the prayer group, where people email me, you know, would you please pray for my Uncle Bill? He's got cancer or something. And I don't publish the list, but we've got this list of people with all these afflictions, and the people on their own leisure pray for these individuals. And I got to tell you, I get follow-up emails from some of these folks who asked for Uncle Bill to be on the list, and all of a sudden, Uncle Bill's cured. It's really strange. It works.
Well, here's the thing. The human mind has a tendency to go to things we believe in. You know, if you believe in UFOs, you see UFOs. If you don't believe in them, you have no paranormal experiences to back it up. That what you have here is that we tend to look at the successes, but there are times when things don't work, but we pile up the successes. Yes, they work, but how often they work? There's a doctor here in Chicago, you reminded me of this, at the University of Chicago, who started studying prayer, and he prayed for a patient. He was surprised how well it worked. I mean, the person was terminally ill, and mm-hmm. prayer worked, and great. Thought this was fantastic. Well, the second time he tried it, it didn't work. And this sort of gets into the one of the discoveries of our Spindrift research that's very interesting. By the way, in case your listeners don't know, the Spindrift is a nautical term that refers to the agitation of a wave during a hurricane out in the ocean.
It's that spraying mist type feel, isn't it?
Yes, but you don't want to be near it. It's very dangerous.
It is. It'll cut you down.
I only know one person who's ever actually seen it in person. The thing is that Spindrift was begun by two Christian Science practitioners in the Chicago area, Bruce and John Klingbeil, a father and son team, and they were actually kind of overlaps with what I'm talking about here. You know, some people are healed, some people are not. Also, some people who are healed later forget they were, or deny they were, or thought it was no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like psychic experiences. I don't know if you've noticed this, but some people have these paranormal psychic experiences, but later on they kind of dismiss them or change the story or forget about them until somebody brings it up to them. It's very funny. So how do we track these things? How can we actually pin some of these things down scientifically? This is what the founders of Spindrift were interested in. And
they looked at it scientifically, didn't they?
Yes, we did experiments. But along with this experimental thing, we had to understand psychology, too. You know, people who are believers believe things no matter what the evidence is. And so we really have to kind of look at things. Is there a reality here? And in the prayer, there is a reality, because what happened with the experiments is that we had people come into the Spindrift laboratory and pray for mostly plant experiments. We had other experiments, too, a little hard to explain. You'd have to read the literature, but let's say everybody understands plants. So they would pray for plant systems that had something wrong with them. Either the plants were undernourished or dehydrated or had too much ultraviolet light, or they had salt in the soil that was hindering their growth. They would pray for these plants. So the plants would be monitored as people prayed for them to bring them back to normal. And then there would be a control group that wasn't prayed for of plants. And then you could compare them, and the experiments are done over and over again, and we found that a certain number of people were able to benefit the plants with their prayers. So they showed that prayer works. So what is being established here is that there is a way to show that, that prayer works. You can't show that it works every time, or you can't show that it can heal an incurable disease or anything like that. But on a modest test that's done in the laboratory, you can show that there is a practitioner to patient prayer to receiver effect that can be measured.
And it's beyond probability, isn't it?
That's the point, that it happens beyond chance. You hit the nail on the head. And so it isn't that it works every time or it's effective every time. It's that there is a phenomenon here that's real in the modern world that a lot of people think isn't real. It's part of the past ancient superstition.
Here's the big question, Bill. Why doesn't it work all the time, or why does it only work in certain circumstances?
Well,
what makes it miss on those other ones?
It has to do with a lot of factors. Inspiration goes up and down. I mean, I've been used to be a musician, book bands and things. Sometimes you'll hear a band, they're on that night, they're not on that night. They don't, I've heard great performers not have a good night. So sometimes healers don't have the inspiration they have. They can't keep it level. It's hard to be in the zone all the time, you know? And it's, that's one reason. Another reason is you have people interfering with it.
Mm-hmm.
We found that the less people you know about all the details of what's going on in a situation that you're praying for, the better. You pray in secret. However, that kind of contradicts the group prayer thing, kind of contradicts that. The more people you have praying for a situation, the more power you have going. But that has its problems, too, because they could all be praying to manipulate the situation.
Right, and I'm not sure that's the case. I think the one may be just as strong as the many in prayer.
Correct. It can be. Yes, that's correct. It's quality versus quantity. Quality is good.
I mean, let's assume for a moment we have a group of millions who hate us, and they pray constantly for our downfall. Does that mean we're going to collapse?
Well, it's a problem.
Is it?
We have millions of people praying for us that way right now.
I know. But, I mean, we still continue. We still move on.
Well, okay, I'm just going to put out a speculation. I think that the prayers that millions upon millions of people are doing right now, 24 hours or around the clock, are keeping a very thin veneer of order on the world. And that could collapse if these prayers weren't there. Now, that's what I think. I can't prove that, but that's what I think, because I think there is a lot of evil intention. And in our experiments at Spindrift, we found that some people's thoughts were very heavily negative, and they could do damage with their thoughts. We tested not just positive.
So negativity also gets through.
It's very powerful, and it's easier to
all right.
do. It's easier to do than a loving prayer. It's easier to hate and be negative than it is to be loving.
True. No, that's true. I always thought, though, that karma would really make that whip-around effect, and that if you send out evil thoughts and negative thoughts, it's going to come back and bite you.
Well, that's what everybody believes, but we all know hardy sinners and hardy people and murderers and people have gotten away their whole lives with stuff and dictators, and you think that, you hope so, but again, we really don't have any evidence to show that that's exactly true. We can point to examples, but then there's other people that get away with stuff. I mean, I find out about people that get away with crimes for years and years, and I'm really surprised. I think there was just something on the news about somebody who was running a financial scam for about 50 years, and it only came up.
They just got caught.
Week.
Yeah.
So that's I guess that's slow karma.
Well, look at Bernie Madoff. He had it going for years and years until things collapsed, outside of him that pulled him in.
Yes, and the only reason that happened was because of the 2008 collapse.
Exactly. Had it not collapsed, he still could have been doing his thing.
You got it. But I wanted to tell you about these negative prayers. I think that we have to watch our thoughts, that we don't have bad agendas and bad motives in our prayers because our unconscious mind, even though we're trying to pray positively, can actually do damage sometimes. So there's the conscious agenda. We think everything's fine, but then our unconscious mind could be doing something entirely different. So we have to make sure that they're in cooperating, the unconscious mind and the conscious mind. They have the same agenda. We had people come into the laboratory some people didn't get any results on the test. Other people got real good healing results. Some people got modest healing results. Then we had other people come in who did damage with their thoughts. They came in and did negative prayers, and they damaged the plants.
And it happened?
It happened.
Interesting. Now, I always thought that the recipient of the prayer, not every prayer is for someone else, but that the recipient of the prayer had to know about it or had to be, agreeable to it or believe in it. The plants kind of negate that because they didn't know.
Yeah, well, as Bruce Klingbeil, one of the founders of Spindrift, said, as far as we know, plants aren't conscious beings, but, maybe someday we'll find out.
Well, some people think they are.
Yeah, right.
They've done some experiments on that. There was one that was done where they hooked up two plants to an electroencephalograph, and they had readings on both plants, and they were calm. Well, one guy came into this room that was pitch black and ripped the shreds out of one of the plants and killed it. And they looked at the reading of the other plant, and it was off the charts.
Well, that was Cleve Baxter.
That's right.
And he was real good friends with Bruce and Sean Klingbeil, who founded Spindrift. And I had met him several times at conferences, too. And he's a great guy. And I wish he hadn't gone underground.
And he's dead now, isn't he?
Well, yes, as far as I know.
I think he is. Yeah.
But he, for years, he didn't. He thought he was getting bad publicity or something, but I wish he had been more public with what he's doing because he's doing great work and it continued. And yes, there is an awareness that plants have an awareness, and this is, the vegetarians don't want to eat meat and kill animals, but what if it comes out that the plants are conscious too? What are we going to eat?
Exactly. Well, what was it that got Bruce and John originally to test prayer?
Well, it was this idea of they have tremendous curiosity. They were working for the church as Christian Science practitioners, which are healers in the church. Some of your people probably know that, some don't. And they were very good at it. And the had this amateur science personality to them too. They were really good at math and the scientific method and knew that stuff and hung around other scientists and laboratories, and that's part of it. And then the other part of it, beyond the curiosity part of it, was they noticed that the minds of people that came to them were funny. If they didn't have a healing, okay, that's clear cut, they didn't have anything. But if somebody had a healing, they were both thrilled, it was great, fabulous, they had this healing experiment, or they had some psychic experiment, or some experiment with intuition, fabulous. But as time went on, this faded away from people, and they forgot all about it. They forgot all about they had a problem. They forgot all about got healed. So it was disappearing from the mental landmark. And so they said, well, would you, if people don't remember they have these experiences, or they diminish them, that isn't there and exciting, but maybe we should do some scientific experiments to actually show there's a phenomenon there. So there is a record of that. Because, George, I'm sure you know that when you talk to people, they're startled. You probably know more than most. Some people don't realize they had these experiences until they get into a conversation with you and it brings up something from their memory.
Right.
But you would think if somebody went bungee jumping, they would remember it.
You would think.
But they don't.
Especially if the bungee broke.
Yes. And so this gets into why they thought they would do it. And along with this, getting back to their study of psychology, Bruce and John Klingbeil have these wild experiments that will happen in the future, we hope, with other consciousness and parapsychology researchers. They studied the defense mechanisms of the mind. They took Sigmund Freud's defense mechanisms and brought it into the paranormal world, where our own defense mechanisms work against us to see psychic phenomena, to not see UFOs, to not remember our spiritual and psychic experiences. Why? Our defense mechanisms want to keep us on a normal track so that we feed our families and we go to work every day and we have normal lives. So they work against us to remember anything that's really that the defense mechanisms consider aberrant. And so this is another area. So if we can understand how the defense mechanisms are trying to sabotage us from experiencing psychic and spiritual experiences, this would be a great leap forward for parapsychology and consciousness research.
Why is it, Bill, when people hear the word prayer, they immediately think of religion? Prayer really is much more than that.
Well, I think of, this gets down to subjective belief. I think of prayer in religious terms, but some people don't.
I don't. Not anymore. I used to, but now I think of it as a just another form of energy to make things happen.
Well, that would be your belief system. So, when you pray, you don't pray to a God being of any kind.
No, not really. Not really.
Okay. Well, here's
I'm letting it out into the universe.
Okay. Here's what I would say about this from our research.
I believe in God, by the way. No question about that.
Okay, but you don't think there's any connection with God with prayer?
Well, I do, but I don't think praying to God gets it done. I think there's something in the universe that just manifests this.
Oh, okay. Well, what about if you're exciting the laws of God when you pray?
Well, I mean, there are times that, people will say, please, God, just make this person feel better. Please, I'll go to church every Sunday or whatever the deal is they cut. That does happen, I think, sometimes. But I think most of the time you can manifest by prayer if you really believe in it. It's almost like some kind of energy force that you're putting out there. That's just me.
Well, I think there's energy involved, but here's how I would see if this is any help to you. We also tested atheists.
All right.
And we found that some atheists were able to produce a result.
Do they pray?
Well,
do atheists pray?
Well, we asked them to. Here's what it is, because if you're going to do scientific testing, you have to test everybody. And we found some atheists that got no results at all. We had one that told us afterwards that they were just conning us. They thought this thing would show that we prayed, that some kind of result, and they actually didn't do anything. They actually didn't think, well, the results showed they didn't do anything, so they were surprised about that. But we have two motivations that we're able to research with in our experiments. And one is called goal-directed mindset. It's a goal. You have a goal in mind and you present that forward. Everybody kind of understands that. That's how that book and philosophy of The Secret is built. You get a picture of something you want, a car, put it in your refrigerator, always look at it, and you'll bring it into being. This is a form of prayer that everybody can do. You don't need a holiness aspect to it or a God aspect to it. It's wish fulfillment prayer, goal-directed prayer. You have a goal in mind. However, there is some goal-directed prayer that is tied to God, and it's known as petitionary prayer. Jesus talks about that, asking you shall receive. But we found that in many cases, people can just have a very strong goal in mind, and they can achieve that goal, and it doesn't have a connection to God necessarily. They may
right.
think it does. Others may not think it does. This is part of why human beings have succeeded so well. They have strong goals, and they reach them. And this can be a good thing, but it can also be a bad thing, because you can have wrong goals, and the goals can cause you trouble. You may get something you don't want. Be careful what you pray for. You
consequences. They all have consequences, don't
you
they?
You got it. So there is that.
Hold on, Bill. We're at the break. We'll come back and talk more. Bill Sweet with us, A Journey into Prayer. Next hour, you'll become part of the program with your calls. We are back with Bill Sweet as we talk about the power of prayer. His book is called A Journey into Prayer. Bill, when you were doing the experiments and you were working on prayer, did you find that there was a special way to do it, to make it work?
Well, it kind of relates to how we left off. we found out that there were these two motivations in prayer that we could test. The first one I told you about was goal-directed. We call that goal-directed prayer. People could manipulate a system that they're praying for or achieve a goal. The other one, now this gets into the higher energy, the more divine energy we feel, is called Thy Will Be Done prayer. It's a term that a lot of people have heard, but the Klingbeils, who started Spindrift, scientifically referred to it as non-goal-directed prayer. Non-goal, you get a goal out of your ego, and what you do is you just pray for what is best for the situation to happen. We found that is the best way to pray because there's some kind of divine intelligence involved in this kind of prayer because it knows what is needed in the situation, whereas many times and a person who's praying does not know what is needed in a situation. Now, this is how we did it in a test. We knew, the people knew at Spindrift, through working with people who understood botany and plants, what the plants actually needed at certain points in time in its recovery process. A person who prayed goal-directed, they said, well, I think I know what this plant needs, and I'm going to send it what it needs. They actually manipulated the plant and pushed it in a direction that wasn't good for it sometimes. Whereas a person who prayed without a goal in mind, a non-goal-directed prayer, a Thy Will Be Done prayer, let God influence the situation, however a person visualizes that. We found that the plant came back through a series of up and down moves and sideway moves in a recovery process that is the plant needed at certain points in time that the person praying could not know and could not manipulate. And this is a very interesting finding. I don't know if you followed that or not, but we found that the Thy Will Be Done prayer produced an effect on the plants that the person praying couldn't know that they were producing.
Interesting. That's fascinating all by itself.
Yes. So we feel that there is an argument that can be made that this kind of quality thought is a holy thought that is different than just putting out energy there without any kind of a divine basis to it. Because we never found anybody who could produce the Thy Will Be Done thought that didn't have that as their premise.
And let me ask you this. What about angels? Do they fit into the equation at all?
Well, I have not. You mentioned Rosemary Ellen Guiley on the break.
Yeah.
She's the one who could really tell you
about
that.
I have
never experienced it myself. Now,
okay.
I've talked to a lot of people in the laboratory who have seen angels. Well, they've come in and they've told me about their angel experience. I haven't. Have you ever seen one?
I've never seen an angel. I've had some angelic things happen to me in my life, but I've never seen
angel. Oh, sure. Well, those are angelic experiences. So the question, we don't know if about that, but you could think of angels as God's thoughts passing to man. I'm quoting somebody on that, but you could think of it that way, that they may be involved. But again, this gets back to why are some people helped and healed and others aren't. So we don't know that. We don't understand that. But what we could show in this modern age we live in, the 21st century, is that beyond chance, like you brought up, goal-directed prayer, non-goal-directed prayer, produce an effect. And when you look at the data, you can see that. On the Spindrift website, spindriftresearch.org, you could look at the experiments page. And all those experiments are based on the writings of the Klingbeils, the scientific writings. They've written a book called the Spindrift Papers, which is a real technical in math and graphs and everything. You'd have to go to that to get the real scientific stuff, but you can get a taste for it on the experiments page at spindriftresearch.org. And another thing you might be interested in, I think people would be interested, how do you become more effective in your prayer?
Right. How do you make it work?
Yes. Well, you could also bring this into the paranormal. How can you make your intuition more effective? How can you make your psychic sensibilities more effective? And one of the ways you can do that is to increase your attention span on what you are praying for or what you're thinking about. In quantum physics, they call this an entanglement. Dr. Rupert Sheldrake calls this morphogenic field. You build up a field between yourself and the object of your attention. And at Spindrift, we have termed the entanglement with what you're praying for associational linkage. It's a very big term in the research. Associational linkage, how your thoughts associate with an object and then they link to them. John Klingbeil said, when you think it, you link it. And the more you do that, the stronger you can build up an associational link through emotion, through concentration, through paying attention, through the love of what you're paying attention to. Well, unfortunately, it works the other way, too, with the hate. But
I was going to ask you about that, too, if you can elaborate as soon as you're done here about the bad effects of prayer.
Yes. Well, that's what we have to be careful for in our motives. Because there you would be completely right. The negative energy would be detached from God and divine things.
I mean, is it a prayer, Bill, if you say something bad like, gosh, I hope he loses his job? Is that prayer?
That's how a lot of people pray, George.
My gosh.
We have all kinds of, we were very surprised to hear how people pray. They pray for one team to
lose
win over
win.
Another, or I know of several people who pray that their bosses get sick so they can take over their job.
Oh, geez.
I'll tell you an experience that my mother and my sister had. They went to a prayer meeting once, and I talk about this in my book, and the people talked about their problems they were having. And one person was, the people stood up and prayed about it. And it was a problem she was having with her boss. And the woman that was leading the prayer group said, God, I don't want to tell you what to do, but I wish you'd break his legs.
Jeez.
I couldn't, it's hard to believe.
And if that stuff happens, then what? Then how do you weigh that? If these negative things happen?
Well, I think what you were saying there simply means we have to take better care of our thoughts, because there are several places in the Bible where Jesus says it several times, I think, and then his disciple James says it, that if you hate your brother, which means your neighbor, without cause, if you hate your brother without cause and you keep on hating without cause, you are a murderer. That's what the scriptures say.
Like this. Now,
that's negative prayer.
Didn't the Klingbeils die under very strange circumstances?
It's the most bizarre thing imaginable. I have a huge chapter on it. Fortunately, I was able to keep my wits about me when it happened. I was the last one to speak with them. We don't know exactly why it happened, because Spindrift was really taking off and succeeding, and we had all kinds of speeches lined up and conferences, and peer-reviewed journals were looking at the experiments, and suddenly they were gone, and they were found in a forest.
Both of them?
Dead. Yeah, father and son. Very mysterious. I think that someday we'll understand these things, but found out that there are a lot of people who are inventors and creative people and geniuses sometimes. For some reason, they are killed off or they have a strange suicide, and it's a very bizarre. It may even be partly the very strong defense mechanisms coming in. They're trying to circumvent the defense mechanisms, and it just came at them like demons and stopped them. It's very strange. I just heard today that Boris Becker won Wimbledon several times and had everything in the world going for him, and all he could think on the back of his mind was killing himself.
Jeez. So look what happened to Robin Williams.
There you are.
But for them both to die, father, son, that's weird.
Well, getting back to Cleve Baxter, He worked with a police detection. He worked with a lot of police people on lie detectors. He did a lot of lie detector tests with people for the police and the detectives. And he said that that had to be some kind of strange thing. Suicide does not explain it. He said, and there's nothing, he doesn't think he's ever read of a father and son. Never. So it's very strange, and we'll just have to figure it out. There are things you can't figure out. But we still don't know what happened to your aunt.
No, right? We don't. You know, a radio falling in her tub? Come on.
Right. And these things happen. There was a Price guy named Price. I thought Ray Price is a singer, right? I mustn't have the right name, but there was a psychic guy named Price who was he was bringing material from the East Coast to the West Coast that was going to prove, add evidence to the psychic phenomena had done, and by golly, he made it as far as Nevada and dropped dead. So that was another one. I don't know if you ever heard that story.
No, I didn't hear that one, but it's weird.
I'll get the details on that, but so that it never came out. So there's a lot of strange things have happened like that, and there is a MD in North Carolina who has done statistics on the number of inventors. And he might be an interesting guest for you, in fact. And people, creative people, and people like the Kleinbaus who come up with these way-out ideas. I mean, believe me, it's a way-out idea to test prayer. The 99% of the people in the Christian community and other communities don't think it's possible. They think it's even blasphemy to think about it. So it's a way-out idea. So he's collected, this doctor has collected all these people that have had mysterious deaths. And he's got a library full of these things.
Well, you knew Bruce and John, right? Personally?
I certainly did. Very
did you see anything that would have told you they were going to kill themselves?
No.
Of course not.
In fact, when we were talking,
you would have lost money on this one.
Yes.
That's weird.
But everything was going well. You would think that if it wasn't going well, you might have a hint.
Well,
they're very unusual people. I would say that. I don't know if that means anything.
Whose feathers would ruffle because of their tests? Anybody?
Well, there are some things I know about that. Yes, I think that when you mess with people, you mentioned money a second ago. That is one thing. Because what the Spindrift test could do would be for ministers, televangelists who ask for money all the time on the air, and
they get it.
But they get it. They say, "I'll pray for you, send me money." Well, now we can test their prayers to see if the prayers are doing anything.
That's right.
So I think that they were offending a lot of people. But if you've got psychic ability, let's test that psychic ability. If you've got prayer ability, let's test it.
Well, maybe they were cracking down on people who weren't as real as they said they were.
Well, that is certainly one thing that the test would reveal. And, of course, they also thought it could be a way for the Vatican to pick a pope, just find out which one of the bishops was the most effective at praying, getting prayer results. It might be considered. And it would be kind of embarrassing if they didn't get any results, I suppose. By the way, I might add, the tests aren't done one time. In order to get a test result, really, that's usable, you had to bring people in the laboratory a lot and add up a lot of their tests together in simulation and look at the data on whole.
That's like a roulette wheel. And if you're betting on a color and you have 9 reds in a row, that's strange. That defies logic.
Right. Right. Well, you know, it's really weird. You talk about coincidences. You mentioned earlier about coincidences.
Or the lack of.
Yeah, well, there's so many things people have to be aware of. I mean, I had a coincidence the other day. I personally don't know anybody with the name of Lou. Do you? You know Lou? I know there's Lou Dobbs.
Yeah, I know a Lou. He used to be my news director in Detroit years ago. Lou Prado.
One guy. So I'm in a restaurant the other day, and they have this terrific pizza called the Lou. And I'm waiting in the line. The guy in front of me says, "Lou." And I turned to him and I said, "Oh, so you ordered the Lou." He says, "No, that's my name."
That's funny.
I
also live in St. Louis, so, you know.
That's good. That's good. Well, anyway, the thing is about all this business, if you can build up associational linkage and have a stronger connection to what you're praying for. And by the way, there's a great example of this that everybody listening will know right away. Look at the associational linkage people have with their pets. I mean, it's immediate. It's strong. The animal even has an association with its owner. You can feel it. It's tangible. And the power of associational linkage is really something. If you have, when you watch commercials and you have these celebrities pushing an item that they probably don't even use or understand, you're going to buy it because you are associationally linked to the celebrity, not the item they're selling, but you have this connection to the celebrity, mm-hmm. So you buy the item.
That's why they do it. Bill, we're going to come back in a minute. We're going to take phone calls and stories about prayer. If you've prayed and it's worked or didn't work, let us know. Bill's website is spindriftresearch.org, linked up at coasttocoastam.com.